Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning and for blessing me. And secondly, I want to thank my loyal listeners for joining me here and those that are sharing this information. And I also recently found out that if you want to listen to the show or if you miss any episodes, you can Google Jeanette Abney Podcast 2019, and it lists all of the radio shows that have been done through Blog Talk Radio, and it's in several different languages, which I found out. So I found that to be very interesting. So if you know someone and you want to share this information, please feel free to do so. Now, today is one of those topics, again, we always come up with these topics that is basically information that either people have shared with me, coming to my by way of me being in private practice as a licensed marriage and family therapist, as I have several different office locations in the city of Fullerton, Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, Oceanside, and Marietta. So one would say, I guess I work like a Jamaican, not to disrespect Jamaicans, but, you know, I am in several different counties and cities. And if I, myself, or my intern is not able to help you, we will also be glad to try to refer you or listen to what's going on to try to get one the help that is not only needed, but is something that they're asking for. So I want to get started with the show. So let me log on with Amy. Good afternoon, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know what? You don't always got a story to tell, right? I need some help today over here because my body is hurting. Between arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis kicking my butt, my grandson yesterday sent me a text message, and he asked me if he could borrow $50. So my question to him was, how you going to borrow $50 when you don't have no job? How you going to pay me back? So what I did, Amy, was I tried to go old school on him, and it's kind of one of those things where it says it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. So I appreciate him asking me for the money, and so I did him like I kind of do Tyena. Remember when Tyena was coming, and I would have her do all my financial stuff and help out around the office? So what I did was, since I know he don't have a job, I gave him a job. So considering I just got my lawnmower out the shop, I picked him and my granddaughter up and had them assist me with cutting the grass. So, considering that I'm not in the best of shape, I am really hurting right about now. So, everything hurts from my top of my head to my toenails. I am in so much pain in regards to trimming bushes, cutting the grass. It's a mess. It's a mess. So, that's basically how I'm doing. So, I'm going to need one of your secret magic potions to kind of help me get through this because my body is aching. So, other than that, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good. I mean, that sounds fair to me. He made the money he needed, and you gave him a job to earn that money. Seems like a fair trade.
Yeah, at least that was how I saw it, too, because I didn't want him to think, you know, that you could just, granny, can I have, granny, can I? No, this is what we go do. And after we cut the grass in the front yard, we didn't make it to the back because it got dark. I cooked dinner for them. And then some of the dinner I made some other steak and gravies and greens and yams and cornbread and red beans and rice. And it's like, they didn't get a chance to eat it. So I brought it to the office today. So when they get out of school today, I will give them some of the food that I cooked last night. So I've been on one. But today's topic, we're going to get started with the show, is an interesting topic as we're going to be talking about troubled teens and mental health. And I'm using my grandkids as an example because some of my grandkids are teenagers. One of them is a teenager, and the other two will probably be transitioning very soon. Now, the month of May is still Mental Health Awareness Month, and today we will honor such as we address a subject that is highly needed as we are still seeing an increase in school shootings and other behavioral issues. Now, today's show is going to be designed to provide help for both teens, parents, and the community, as it appears that many teens are are dealing with symptoms of depression, anxiety, parent-child relational issues, anger, violence, delinquency, and other teen behavioral problems. So again, if you are a teen, a parent, or a concerned individual, hopefully you are not missing the show, or if you're listening, you can always share it with someone else, either on demand, or you click on the link to listen to it at any time. Now, Amy, when we talk about mental health and we're talking about teens, you know, this is kind of taboo for a lot of individuals because many individuals don't even view it as a mental health issue. But, you know, I found that a lot of parents are afraid of their children or there's this stigma in regards to mental health in teens. What is your input in regards to that?
I think that today's day and age, there's a lot more teenagers, you know, like figuring out that they may have mental illness. I think that sometimes, you know, teenagers, it's a hard time, and sometimes it gets masked as mental illness because there's so many changes going on in the body. And parents, you know, overlook it or get them on medication too soon and don't know how to handle dealing with a teenager.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Amy, and it's interesting, very interesting that you said that, and because a lot of times we're talking about teens and mental health issues. Part of it is that sometimes individuals don't know if it's a mental health issue, if it's just a regular hormonal issue, you know, what is actually going on, and also that stigma. Now, some information, and it talks about stigma keeps many teens from getting mental health treatment. But, you know, by working with me a bit in my office, I get phone calls from parents regarding a whole lot of stuff because individuals are now trying to utilize their insurance. But, you know, we have to decipher whether it is a mental health issue, meaning does it meet medical necessity, or is it a relational issue, which the relational issue, the child could still or the teen could still receive assistance if they're dealing with any type of ADHD or depression, anxiety, PTSD. So there's a lot of different things that teens go through. Now, when we start talking about teenagers, a lot of times when we're looking at some of their attitudes, their behaviors, they can be shy. And those are just some of the things that, you know, we say, well my kid has poor social skills or things of that nature. But I'm going to give you some information first as it talks about some of the reasons why individuals don't get help. And what is the cost of mental health care? A lot of times individuals feel that it's going to cost too much. But again, you can utilize EAP services. If it's offered through your employer, you can also use your insurance. Another thing is the concern over the perception of others, trouble making appointments, which I hear a lot from individuals that are trying to reach out and get some help, time, constraints, and other responsibilities, not wanting family members to know about whatever the issue is, the inability to find good care. So if there are some therapists out there listening, we got to start figuring out ways to connect with these teens, and lack of desire to be treated. Because a lot of times the teens can be very, very resistant, and they can also be very scared. Now, Amy, just some of those things, because part of the problem is if left untreated, the mental health and the depression or whatever it is, it can lead to self-medication with alcohol, illegal substances. It can turn into addiction, and it can also turn into a lot of other behavioral problems and concerns where we're seeing issues with, you know, teens are dating, school violence, delinquency, and some of those other maladaptive behaviors that we're seeing. Amy, what is your comment in regards to when it's left untreated, first of all, and then we'll start talking about some of the things that we are seeing?
Like, just looking back from high school, I just remember noticing signs that I was unaware of. Like, I was unaware that my friends were suffering from mental illness. You know, and, you know, there's self-mutilation that was very, very common, and signs of depression that could have been altered if they were to seek the help they needed or spoken out and felt comfortable enough to find help.
Got you. And, you know, Amy, you said in your generation it was self-mutilated behaviors. when I grew up and I was in high school in the 80s, we didn't see self-mutilating behavior. We didn't. We saw the substance abuse. We didn't even know about depression, anxiety, PTSD, children witnessing domestic violence. I had no knowledge of none of that stuff growing up in Compton. We thought it was pretty normal. You know, we would go outside and play. We were aggressive. And, you know, you had individuals that were, you know, in gangs and, you know, ditch school and stuff like that. But we never really looked at certain things as being a mental health issue. Now, when we talk about, and let's start with just the teen depression. I want to give the listeners some information because depression is one of those things that's like a big umbrella. Because it can, Amy, we just lost you. It can involve a lot of different things. But when we talk about teen depression, and how would you know if your teenager is depressed? Some of the symptoms may include mood swings, agitation, and anxiety. And a lot of times, those are some of the things that we think is just normal. In addition to that, it could be altered sleep patterns, excessive sleeping or insomnia, loss of focus and inability to concentrate, drastic weight changes, either gain or loss, fatigue or exhaustion, loss of interest in hobbies, sports, or other activities that previously were important to teens, the decline in academic performance, frequent absences from school and skipped classes, thoughts of death, expressions of wanting to die, discussions of suicide, and substance abuse. Now, Amy, those are just some of the a few things that, you know, they find in regards to depression. But we know that teenagers are going through a lot of different things. Now, I want to share, I was talking to and I had a conversation with someone the other day. And, you know, when I go back and I look at some of these school shootings, and you would think that with the stuff that's going on in the media, with things that are, you know, happening, and they had a football coach that was able to stop an incident that occurred in, I believe it was Portland, Oregon, where a person had took a gun to school. I mean, teen dating. Do you know that when we're talking about with teen dating and all of the emotions that goes along with that, especially with a breakup, and it seems like a lot of the emotions that the kids are dealing with is having to do with dating. And I had a conversation with a parent, and I was like, "Who is your kid? Is your kid having sex? Is your kid?" If grown people can't handle those types of emotions and deal with mental health issues, what do you think is going on in the minds of some of these teenagers, Amy?
I mean, that's a great point. We talked about this in the domestic violence group earlier this week. We were talking about how, you know, we expect these kids to know how to handle a relationship or what a healthy relationship is versus an unhealthy relationship when they really only know what they're exposed to. So if you don't know, mm-hmm. if you're not exposed to what a healthy relationship is and your parents only had, you know, an unhealthy one, how do you expect them to be able to find and handle all the emotions that go along with that? So mm-hmm. it's just, it gets you thinking is, where can we go to help these teenagers, middle school teenagers, high schoolers, find what they need in order to handle a healthy relationship? The skills, the coping skills, the tools, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Amy, and that's what's scary because, you know, we've been hearing about that for years where a kid breaks up or a teenager breaks up with their boyfriend and girlfriend, go back to school, shoot up people at the class in the classroom, students, you know, or they are basically having some, or they're being bullied, you know, these different things that are going on. And not only do we have to look at the kid that is being withdrawn, we also have to look at the kid that's being aggressive and what's going on with that, too. Now, I have some information, Amy, and I want to share with the parents, and it talks about six facts that parents should know about mental illness in teens. Because a lot of, you know, we look at different childhood pervasive developmental disorders, but there's a lot of different things that we miss. Even myself as a parent, I never thought about these different things when we talk about teenagers. You know, when they start their parents, their menses, you know, girls go through certain things. When boys get a little older, the peer pressure that they go through. We never really looked at it as mental health. I always looked at it as just peer pressure or people trying to fit in. So now things are changing. Now, even though we know it's normal for some teenagers to be moody at times, but when the adolescent's mood swings can be a sign of something else, that could be like a mental illness. And sometimes we don't even know what that's about because mental illness is more common in teens than most people think. But many types of mental illness are treatable, and it's just a matter of pinpointing a diagnosis. And it seems like a lot of times we have issues where parents or the teens will say that my parents don't listen. But by that same token, we want to make sure that we are paying attention. Now, physicians define mental illness differently than most of us do, because we don't want to just say it's an illness they're sick or put this label on a teenager. We don't want to do that. Now, physicians look at specific criteria in order to determine if a person has a mental illness. And for that person to be diagnosed with any type of disorder, they generally look for the mood. They look for different things, you know, different, they have what's called the DSM-5 is some of the criteria we look at. Now, additionally, 5 out of the following 7 symptoms have to be required for a certain diagnosis. And this particular diagnosis basically has to do with depression. And we talked about, if you notice changes in sleep, new onset of guilt, changes in energy level, changes in concentration or task completion, change in appetite, change in motivation, thoughts of suicide, we need to get that kid some help. Now, when we start talking about these different things, you also want to know that there are a few common types of mental illnesses in teens. And the common types of mental illnesses in teens is the general anxiety, excessive worry about everyday matters, because teens do worry a lot, social phobia, severe feelings of self-consciousness or insecurity in social settings. We talked about depression a little bit, the persistent feelings of sadness, anxiety, and or emptiness. But Amy, did you know that more than 1 in 10 teens between the ages of 12 and 17 years old experience some episode of major depression? And that means that at least sometimes it can last for 2 weeks or even longer. But Amy, we need to know the warning signs. We need to try to help parents be able to know when it's time to make that phone call. What do you think about that, Amy?
I think a lot of it, you know, is denial. Like, you know, you always say parents are doing the best they can with the cards that they're dealt. And we don't want to be, you know, a lot of self-blame or guilt, parenting guilt, in if their child does suffer from mental illness. And I think it's important to know that it's okay to seek help for your child who has mental illness, because you're really helping both of you. And there's nothing to be ashamed about.
Correct. And you know what, Amy, and that's part of the taboo, because, you know, a lot of times the parents do feel guilty, and sometimes the parents are not aware if mental health is basically something that is, if it's hereditary or what's going on, you know, within the family. And a lot of times we've just seen straight out just defiant behavior, and where kids are being, you know, conduct disorder. But, you know, I have a book that I work with a lot of my teenagers, especially in Oceanside, with, and it's entitled I'm Not Bad, I'm Mad. Because a lot of times individuals don't get to the underlying root of what's going on. And, you know, we saw that in Garden Grove when people are crying and the parents just want to focus on, you know, whether the kid is addicted to video games, but is something up under that, or, you know, the parents' relationship. It's a lot of different things and factors that basically can, things can be going on. So when you're talking about taking your child to the doctor or even making that phone call, you should see your child's pediatrician or family physician first, you know, because sometimes you want to rule out some medical problems. You want to know what are the symptoms the teen is displaying, or what are the parents worried about, and what does the teen, or does the teen have any concerns? Because we want to hear what they have to say. Because sometimes they will just shut down. Because, like I said, mental illness in teens is more common than most people think, and it's also treatable. But, Amy, it is also very frequently ignored. You know, and I always tell people, I don't want to be that parent where here it is, you know, I get this phone call that as a teenager, my son did this or my son did that, which I tell him now, he's the only person I know, as old as he is, that people still call his mother whenever he do something.
Yeah, and I think to go off what you said is just to have, when you're concerned about your child, to see what's kind of going on in your life, to reflect on your own life, Because sometimes we project onto children, because and they become, you know, they're so close to us, and they end up absorbing all of our emotions. And so
correct.
It's important to reflect on your own life to see what's going on and if you need the help versus if they need the help. And it won't hurt for you both to get help.
Correct. And you know what, also, too, Amy, even with childhood trauma, you know, witnessing domestic violence, the anxiety, and the problem is also even mild mental health problems in children or teens can cause trouble later. Because the problem is, and from one of the things that I've seen, is if a lot of these teenagers do not get help, that can carry over into their adulthood. And, you know, seeking their first job, getting fired from the job, having anger issues, you know, all of this stuff. If you don't treat it and get some help and you fester in it, it will continue and it will grow and turn into something else. And now you have a bigger problem. And that's where in society we run into a lot of issues with kids joining gangs and, you know, and trying to even determine, and not even determining, coming up with what is a good definition for when we talk about a troubled youth or a troubled teen. Because a lot of times when we're talking about trouble, what is the problem? A lot of times individuals may not even be able to tell you what the actual problem is. And I want to say that there are organizations out there, there are people that care, there are individuals that work very well with teens, because you know, Amy, I'd rather work with a teenager than work with an adult. Because at least if I can help that teenager, that's one less adult that you may see either in jail, in prison, for something that could have been a situation that could have been avoided. Now, when we start talking about even with you know, helping a teenager and helping a parent, but the teenage years, we know there's a lot of challenge for both the adolescents and their parents. Like I said, the moodiness, the anger, the rebellion, sometimes to be normal characteristics in development. But you have to learn how to distinguish between normal teen anger and more serious problematic behaviors. Because like I said, sometimes we overlook things. Now, some behavior issues are rare and can happen before middle school, but increase drastically during adolescence. And they estimate that 1 in 5 adolescents in the United States has a diagnosis of mental health disorder, which often begins early in life. And researchers have also found that 50% of mental health problems begin by age 14. But fortunately, there are ways to prevent mental health problems from progressing, and early intervention and treatment could go a long way towards helping children live healthy lives. Now, you know, Amy, as I'm looking at some of this stuff and looking at some of the things that's going on and some signs to look for, I know growing up in Compton, a lot of teenagers that I grew up with, many of them didn't even make it to adults. You know, we dealt with a lot of different ways we expressed ourselves. Some individuals turned to drugs and alcohol. Some individuals turned to gangs. Some individuals was at risk of a lot of different teen pregnancies. So those were some of the things and signs we looked at. We talked about a troubled teen, who was at risk. But I want to give the parents some signs to look for if your teen is struggling. And this doesn't have to do with your ethnicity, where you live. Because, Amy, do you know that for a long time, a lot of the parents, even in Huntington Beach, even though it is more of an affluent community, they didn't believe that their kids was troubled or their teens was troubled. They didn't believe they had gang or a drug problem out there. And that is sad. Now, what is your take on that before I give some signs to look for if your teen is struggling?
I mean, that was an interesting conversation we had that one day, but it was people are naive or in denial about certain things, and it just takes one person to bring awareness to that and just to get them thinking about what's right in front of their face. You know, sometimes people don't want to, you know, seeing is believing. If they don't see it, they don't believe that it's there. But when in fact it is. So it's just bringing awareness and knowledge to people and sharing information.
Correct. And letting them know too, Amy, that they're not alone, because a lot of times individuals, like you said, they're so embarrassed and they don't know how to get the help that's so necessary and so needed. You know, I remember one time I had got a phone call from a person, And the young lady wasn't a teen, but I know she was a young adult, probably only about 19. And the problem was, you know, I was told that the mother had been suffering from cancer. She was in remission. The father had had a stroke. And I got a call that they had needed some help. So I took my butt over there, and it was an African-American family. And the problem was the young lady was in her room when I got there. And I didn't even know these individuals, but I went to go try to see what I could do. The young lady, I didn't know when I walked in her room and was talking to her, she wanted me to get out. And I told her, I'm not going nowhere. To make a long story short, she told me that she told her mother, the next person that come into my room, I'm a stabber. Amy, I looked at her mama. I went there to go talk to her mother. I was like, I am not the one. I am so not the one. Here the mother's sitting there, the father's sitting there. You know you got this girl up in the air, and this young lady is out of control. But she had no respect for her parents, none whatsoever. The young lady had been on drugs. The young lady had been, you know, she was very violent. But she was also dealing with a bipolar disorder. And the parents wasn't aware of that. And when I confronted the mother told me, well, yes, she did tell me that, but I didn't believe her. Amy, you probably would have seen me on the news. I was like, no, they didn't just send me over here with this child, talking about the next person coming to her room. She was going to stab her. And we built, and I was able to build a real good relationship with her. I never really took her on as a client, but I always made sure that she could always talk to me whenever she needed somebody to talk to. But that's when we start talking about the signs to look for. And like I said, it's normal for parents and teens to worry about whether their children are in trouble or not. Even the best behaved teens can exhibit worrying behavior that is indicated that they are at risk of suffering from mental health disorder. And I want to say, Amy, because from what I experienced growing up in Compton, substance abuse was one of the biggest, number one indicator. And that was a problem a lot of times in adolescence, and it can affect any child, from those that are at the top of their class to those that are sometimes struggling to get to class. And, Amy, like I said, a lot of times parents don't even realize that their kids are using drugs. And in some cases, like I said, they're self-medicating. Let's start with the drug use in regards to a person being in trouble. What has been your take in regards to that?
When a teenager gets in trouble?
Yes, in regards to drugs. And when if your child is struggling.
I think they get really defensive, and they don't really know how to handle the situation because they didn't know how to handle what got them into drugs in the first place, you know, and sometimes mm-hmm. it is just peer pressure and it just takes one time, but other times it's, you know, like you said earlier, self-medication and over the course of time and they get caught and they don't know what to do and they get this, mm-hmm. they feel like they're trapped and they end up either running away or continue the patterns and parents are in denial and it's just mm-hmm. this cycle that just keeps occurring.
Got you. And like I said, and a lot of parents I know, when I was growing up, my mother had this thing that I would rather for my kids to get high at home than to get high in the street. And that was a terrible way of looking at it, because if you allow your child to get high at home, they're going to get high in the street. And there are some parents that feel like, well, my kid is only smoking marijuana, it's no big deal. Okay, you may think it's no big deal now, but now they're lacing marijuana with fentanyl. And now your child may be perhaps selling marijuana at school and now is considered a drug dealer, you know. And these are certain types of behaviors that parents don't realize that their child is in a lot of trouble and is headed down this dark, dark road. So, again, the warning signs to look for in your son and daughter may include feelings of anxious or worried a lot of times, hyperactivity, frequent tantrums or excessive irritability, engaging in risky or self-destructive behaviors. Difficulty sleeping, including frequent nightmares, loss of interest in things they used to enjoy, avoiding spending time with friends, panic attacks is another one, frequent stomach aches and headaches with no physical explanation, harming themselves or others. And I want to say that the self-mutilating behavior doesn't always mean that they're suicidal. That is a release of pain, and you find that a lot in childhood trauma, individuals that have been sexually molested, You know, so there's a lot of things we start looking at the self-mutilating behavior, and that can also be very addicting. Repeatedly smoking, drinking, or using drugs, suicidal thoughts or tendency, thinking their minds are controlled or out of control, or hearing voices. And if you are worried about your child, there may be many places you can turn for help, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is one, and they also have what's called the Office of Adolescent Health, OAH, and they have a lot of information that you can communicate with them, and you can also give them a call at 1-877-959-3309. And Amy, they are really a good resource. I pretty much have it to where they always send me information regarding what's up to date when it goes to or relates to different teenage behaviors. Because some of the things that they look for or look at when they talk about a lot of the mental health issues with teenagers and troubled teens is attention deficit disorder, which, like I said, that can affect nearly 11% of children between the ages of 4 and 17, and children with ADHD may have trouble paying attention, controlling impulsive behaviors, remaining still for extended period of time, depending on the severity of the symptoms, and the ADHD can lead to academic problems, social isolation, developmental delays, and disciplinary problems. So we start talking about a troubled teen, sometimes the child may have ADHD. Oppositional defiant disorder, which is another one. And ODD is a behavioral disorder, sometimes diagnosed in children and adolescents who constantly cause serious problems at home, in school, or with their peers. And sometimes that is a diagnosis they will give an individual that is a troubled teen. Now, examples of ODD behaviors include frequently being angry or losing their temper, arguing with authority figures, meaning their parents or teachers, or refusing to comply with the rules or requests, often feeling resentful or spiteful, and deliberately annoying others or feeling annoyed by others. And parents can also find out more information about ODD from the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry in regards to oppositional defiant disorder. The next one, Amy, is the conduct disorder. Conduct disorder is diagnosed when children and teens display a persistent pattern of aggression towards others and constantly break rules or defy social norms at home, in school, or with their peers. Now, this behavior, Amy, is really focused on what we see when we're talking about troubled teens, because it is characterized by severe behaviors, including major rule breaking, such as running away, skipping school, staying out all night, being overly aggressive, getting into fights, bullying classmates, hurting animals, maliciously damaging other people's property, lying and stealing. And if parents want more information, again, it can turn to the American Academy of Child Adolescent Psychiatry. Amy, those two right there, we're talking about troubled teen, and we talked a little bit about self-harm. What do you want the listeners to know in regards to some of the things they can do?
I think that it's important to realize that teens will do whatever it takes. They know exactly where your weaknesses are, and they will feed on it. So it's important to have that consistency and follow through with whatever punishments you feel necessary and seeking the help that you that is there that they may need. You know, so if they need help, get them the help. And follow through. Don't just say, like, you know, you need help or whatever. You need to follow through with your words. You need to follow through with actions. And so, yeah, I mean, teens will do whatever it takes. So we have to be aware of it and be willing to get the help that they need.
Correct. And, you know, Amy, and I want to go back to talking about addictions in drug and alcohol use. And I'm looking at some information, and it says nearly 90% of addictions begin in teenage years. So it is very important that we pay close attention to the warning signs. We need to know. And I'm glad that some of the laws have changed in regards to contributing to the delinquency of a minor. They were talking about vaping and how with vaping, the high levels of nicotine that's in vapors. And a lot of times individuals, we think it's harmless. We think, oh, they're going to grow out of it. You know, sometimes parents become kind of standoffish and become afraid of their teenage. teenagers because of the aggressive behaviors, but we cannot be afraid of our teens. We really need to get them connected and get them the help that is needed. So like I said, when you start looking at these behavior changes, the grades, you know, getting in trouble at home, school, or with the police, engaging in secretive or suspicious behavior, like I said, changes in appetite, sleep, the personality, the attitude, the mood swing, we really need to be aware and pay attention. Physical changes,
and
bloodshot eyes, that weight loss gain, not caring about physical appearances, hygiene, unusual smell or clothes, or breath, slurred speech, or difficulty balancing. Some of the social changes, changes in friends, changes in social normal activities and hobbies, legal or disciplinary problems, unusual need for money. That was when my grandson started asking me for $50. I wanted to know why an 11-year-old needed $50. Using substances even though it causes problems in relationships. So we need to, like I said, be aware of those things. And Amy, there's some other things we need to focus on too, is the new problem that we're having with children when we start talking about social media. That's another area of concern, Amy, where we're seeing a lot of troubled teens and mental health issues because there's so much going on when it comes to social media. Can you share with the listeners in regards to that?
I mean, I also think going off what you said is to have communication with your children, you know, like after school, ask them how their day was, you know, ask about their friends, because when they start talking about friends doing vaping, you don't want to question them. You know, like you tell somebody no, they want, it makes them want to do it. So it's important to have that communication, explain to them the dangerous effects of it, not just say because I said so. I remember growing up, my mom would use that one, and that was made me want to do something more than I did before, just asking about it. So it's important to have facts behind the or reasons behind the why you said your answer.
And you know what, Amy, and that's true because a lot of times parents don't have the verbiage. They don't know what to say. And a lot of times what I've seen happen is a lot of times parents have given their teens too much ammunition. They've given them too much information. And even if you are a parent and you have a history of drug or alcohol use, it doesn't mean that you cannot talk to your child, your teenager, and try to help guide them in the right direction. Sometimes they need to know that you care. They also need to know that you understand. Now, in regards to, and I like this information that I'm about to share now, Amy, it's called the Help Guide. And it indicates help for parents of troubled teens dealing with anger, violence, delinquency, and other teen behavior problems. Because, I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than a parent that feels helpless and hopeless, especially whether you are a single parent, whether you are going through a divorce, even if your parent or even if your teen lives in a two-parent home, it doesn't mean that you will not either have to experience some of these different behaviors. Now, parenting a teenager is not easy, but when your teen is violent, depressed, abusing alcohol or drugs, and or engaging in reckless behavior, it can be very overwhelming. Amy, I know when I was parenting my son, oh, my God. There are a lot of things I did probably was not appropriate, but I didn't know what to do when I was dealing with him. I didn't have a lot of those problems with my daughter, but my son, oh, my God, it was a mess. Now, it seemed like with my daughter, she kind of learned from him, so she kind of knew what not to do. With my son, it was like he would try to hide something from me, and I would always find out. And I did my best trying not to parent the way my parents parented me, because my mother tried to put the fear of God in me, and that didn't work. So what is your take on that, Amy? Because I know you said that with your son, with your brothers, it was a little different because you kind of was a kid that didn't want to get in trouble. But what is your, in regards to talking about parenting a teenager?
I mean, parenting changes over time, you know? Like, parents learn what to do and what not to do. So for me, I didn't like to break the rules because I didn't want to disappoint my parents, but I'm more of a people pleaser. Where my brother, he didn't care, and he definitely pushed the buttons. And my sister, she's a lost cause because the rest of us wore out my parents between the four older ones. So you could see, like, just the length on the leash between me and my sister and where you are 7 years apart is huge. Like, I was never allowed to be out past 11 o'clock on a school night. So it's interesting to see how parenting styles change. And, but my parents did be like, with the rules they set, they were consistent with it. So it allowed me to have respect for my parents. A lot of my friends lost respect for their parents because they would say one thing and do the opposite, or they would say they'd get in trouble and they never did. So why, you know, it didn't matter if they did it or not, because they had a feeling they weren't going to get in trouble. So it's just interesting to see the different sides, but I definitely had a lot more respect for my parents with the rules that they had set because of the communication. And more times than not, my friends would rather come, you know, hang out with my family than their own. Does that make sense?
Wow. Okay. And like I said, being a parent, not easy. And I know even with me being a grandparent, I do things a little differently with my grandkids than I did with my kids. So I know that. And even, you know, being a coach and, you know, watching a lot of dynamics, you even know me as a therapist, how you see me interact when I'm engaging with the parent-child relational issues, or when teenagers are troubled or going through some things, and also trying to help the parent. Because what happens is a lot of times parents feel exhausted. Sometimes they lie awake at night worrying about where their child is, who they're with, what they're doing. And even though they may feel despair over failed attempts to communicate, the endless fights, and the open defiance, but while parenting a troubled teen can often seem like it's an impossible task, there are some steps that individuals can take to ease the stress and chaos at home and to help the teen transition into a happy, successful young adult. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that it's always going to be easy. It can be a challenge. But when you have resources, when you know how to go and get some help, or you know how to make phone calls, it can make your life a little bit simpler. And sometimes also the church, you know, getting your kids involved in something, that kind of helps too, because you want them to feel or finding out their purpose. Now, why do teens act the way they do? Like I said, mental health is one thing, but anyone who raised adolescents know just how baffling teenage behaviors can be. The tantrums, the defiance, the moodiness, the intense emotions, the impulsive behaviors, the reckless conduct. And sometimes it's hard to believe, but we start talking about, I remember, Amy, and it's bringing it to my mind, I saw it was like a comic thing one time, and it was a man, it was a lady standing on top of a mountain with a sign, and she was telling her husband, "Honey, you can come home. The kids are gone now," because the parent was like, "I'm out. You know, I'm out. These kids are driving me nuts." But the thing is, when we start talking about, you know, some of the behaviors and the way the kids' brains form, but a teenage brain does not fully mature until they're about in their mid-20s. So you want to make sure that you also are there to help and guide them. Even though your teen may be taller than you and seem mature in some respects, but often they are simply unable to think things through on an adult level. Hormones are produced during the physical changes of adolescence and can further complicate things. It's crazy because as I'm even looking at a lot of this information, I think of our teacher and writer. And our teacher be telling me how Ryder don't be want to wake up in the morning, how he don't want to be doing certain things. And it's crazy because I went through that already with his father, so I already know. But trying to get her prepared for this, she's like, "Oh, my God, this is ridiculous." But we also know that if she don't nip it in the bud now, she going to have some problems along the road when he become a teenager. She going to ask me, "Mom, what you going to do when he become a teenager?" And I looked at her like, "I will move. I'll leave the state." But when we start talking about the frustration and parents and teachers and things that they go through, it's important to remember that while teenagers are individuals with unique personalities and their own likes and dislikes, some traits are universal, meaning no matter how much your teen seems to withdraw from you emotionally, no matter how independent your teen appears or how troubled your teen becomes, they still need your attention and to feel loved by the parent. Amy, and that right there, because a lot of times troubled teens, teens going through depression, teens dealing with anxiety, sometimes they feel their parents don't care. Any comments?
I think that's a huge, huge fact. I think that that happens a lot more. I mean, you know, teenagers tend to feel as if they are the victim and everyone's out to get them. And that's partially because of the hormones and the adjustment to society. And society is changing. It's a scary world out there, you know, with social media. It plays a huge impact. But listen to your kids. Like, hear them out. Let them finish what they're saying before you give them your input. You know, like a lot of times you, a child or a teenager is trying to talk to you, and they're coming to you, and they feel like they're being cut off or they're not being heard.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the main complaints that I hear from a lot of teenagers is my parents don't care or they don't listen to me. But when typical teen behaviors become troubled teen behaviors, as teenagers begin to assert their independence and find their own identity, many experience behavioral changes that seem bizarre and unpredictable to parents. Your sweet, obedient child who once couldn't bear to be separated from you now won't be seen within 20 yards of you. And greet everything you say with a roll of the eyes, the slamming of the door, and as difficult as it can be for parents to endure, they are actions of normal teenagers. But a troubled teen, on the other hand, exhibits behavioral, emotional, or learning problems beyond typical teenage issues. They may repeatedly practice at-risk behaviors, including, and I want the parents to realize the difference between normal teenage behaviors and troubled teen behaviors. Some of the things in the behaviors include drinking, using drugs, sex, just those three right there, Amy. And because, you know, that's a lot of issues that we find, or I find, when I'm working with teenagers in therapy. The drinking, the drug use, and the sex. And parents don't think there's nothing wrong with that. And it is. Because this right here is or can turn into a big problem. Violence, skipping school, self-harming behavior, shoplifting, or other criminal acts. When you see these things, that's when you know your child is in trouble. And also, they may exhibit symptoms of mental health problems such as depression, anxiety, and eating disorders, which is a whole other thing. Now, while any negative behavior repeated over and over again could be a sign of underlying trouble, it's important for parents to understand which behaviors are normal during the adolescent development and which one points out a more serious problem. Now, when we talk about some of these warning signs, Amy, and talking about the behavior and parents butting heads and, you know, learn to communicate, but changes in appearances we talked about, increased arguments and rebellious behaviors. The problem with the warning sign of a troubled teen, constant escalation of arguments, violence at home, skipping school, getting into fights, run-ins with the law are all red flag behaviors that go beyond normal teenage rebellion. When we start talking about the mood swings, typical teenage behaviors, hormones, developmental changes, often mean that your teen will experience mood swings, irritable behaviors, struggles to manage their emotions. But it is a warning sign with a troubled teen when you see rapid change in personality, failing grades, persistent sadness, anxiety, or sleep problems could indicate depression, bullying, or another emotional health issue. Take any type or any talk about suicide seriously. Amy, let's speak on that a little bit. When kids start talking about committing suicide.
I mean, it happens a lot, and a lot of people, a lot of times it gets labeled as them wanting attention, and if that's so, then they still need to get help. It doesn't matter if it's for attention or not. If children are talking about that, that's no joking matter. I remember games going around in high school of, like, you know, choking, like choking, or like the cinnamon challenge, like all those scary things that you see on online, and it just needs to be addressed. Like, it doesn't, those things need to be talked about with your children, and if they are suffering from that, they need to feel comfortable enough to come to you without being felt like they're going to be judged or critiqued for having these feelings.
That is true. Now, Amy, I want to give the parents some tips, and it talks about tip one, connect with your troubled teen. It may seem hard to believe, but given your child's anger or indifference towards you, but teens still crave love, approval, and acceptance from their parents. Positive face-to-face connection is the quickest and most efficient way to reduce stress. By calming and focusing the nervous system, this means you probably have a lot more influence over your teen than you really think. But to open the lines of communication, one, be aware of your own stress level. Don't go talk to them when you are distracted or you stress out yourself. Be there for your teen. And often to either try to chat with them or your teen over coffee or, you know, taking them to the movies. You know, you want to make sure that you're there. You want to make sure that you are also paying them some attention. Don't get frustrated if your efforts to greet by nothing more than a grunt, a shrug, or I don't know, or, you know, but you want to make sure that you are allowing your child the opportunity to open up, and they know that you always have the opportunity, or they will always have the opportunity to come to you if there is something to talk about. So you want to be there. Find common ground by trying to discuss your teen's appearance or clothes may be a surefire to trigger a heated argument, but you can still find some areas of common ground. You know, father and son normally connect over sports. You know, mother-daughter normally shop, but, you know, try to find a common ground. And you mentioned this, Amy, and I want to speak on it again. Listen without judging or giving advice. A lot of times we don't know how to listen. Even as a parent and a grandparent, I have to still have to make time to just shut up, Jeanette. I twiddle my thumbs. But it's important that you listen without judging, mocking, interrupting, criticizing, or offering advice. Because your teen wants to feel understood and valued by you, so maintain eye contact and keep your focus on your child, even if they're not looking at you. If you're checking your emails, reading the newspaper, your teen will feel that they're not important to you. And expect rejection. Amy, a lot of times talking about rejection, your teen may often respond to your attempts to connect with anger, irritation, or negative reactions. Stay relaxed and allow your teen space to cool off. Try again later, but you don't want to force the teen. Any comments in regards to just what I just mentioned in regards to ways that a parent can connect with their troubled teen?
No, I think that you covered it. I just think it's really, I think the best thing anyone can do is just listen, you know, and share the facts. You know, like, you need to know the facts about alcohol on the brain and drugs and vaping before you can share it with a child. Telling them that it's dangerous isn't an explanation to them. So, you know, get the knowledge and share the information, and then, you know, and have that conversation with them and have that open line of communication is the best thing I think you can do, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And tip two, deal with teens' anger and violence. If you're a parent of a teenager boy or a young lady who is angry, aggressive, or violent, you may live in constant fear. Every phone call, knock on the door could bring news that your son has either or your daughter has been harmed or has seriously harmed others. Amy, I would hate to be one of them parents that get that call or that knock where my child went to school and blew up school or shot up somebody or, you know, and I used to have that conversation with my son quite often. But teenage girls get angry as well. Of course, but not that anger is usually expressed verbally rather than physically. Teen boys are more likely to throw objects, kick doors, punch walls when they're angry, and some will even direct their rage towards you. Now, I know even growing up, and you know I was a violent teen, but I was used to fight a lot, but putting up violence as a harmful for your teen, it can be also as harmful for the parents. And if you feel threatened by your teen, even though sometimes we know that everyone has a right to feel physically safe, if your teen is violent towards you, seek help immediately. Call a friend, call the police if necessary. You have no idea how many times I've told a parent, call the police, call the police. I'll do that in a heartbeat. And because you want to make sure that it doesn't mean that you don't love your child, but the safety of you and your family should always come first. And a lot of times, individuals are afraid to call the police, but sometimes, you know what, sometimes, hey, you have no other option. Cope, or how to cope with teenagers, a teenager. We know anger can be a challenging emotion for many teens. It is often masked as an underlying emotion such as frustration, embarrassment, sadness, hurt, fear, shame, or vulnerability. When teens cannot cope with those feelings, they lash out, putting themselves and others at risk. In their teens, we start talking about boys. Boys, Amy, have a more difficult time recognizing their feelings and let alone expressing them or asking for help. So sometimes with our sons, we do need to, you know, step up the plate a little bit. And even with our girls, we don't want our girls to be in unhealthy dating relationships either. But you also, when regards to how to cope with a teenager, is establish boundaries, rules, and consequences. Try to understand what's behind the anger as a parent. And also be aware of anger warning signs and triggers, meaning does a teen get headaches or start to pace before exploding with rage? Or does a certain class or school always trigger anger? And when teens can identify the warning signs that their temper is starting to boil, it allows them to take a step to diffuse the anger before it gets out of control. And help your teen find healthy ways to relieve the anger. And give your teen space to retreat and take steps to manage your own anger. We need to know the red flags. And I know we're running out of time. We haven't received any phone calls. But, Amy, it only takes a glance at the news headlines to notice your teen violence is growing or becoming a problem. We know that movies, TV shows glamorize all manners of violence. We know that individuals on the Internet, social media, can be to the extreme. We know that video games can desensitize teens to the real-world consequences of aggression and violence. And we know that not every teen exposed to violent contact will become violent, but for troubled teens who are emotionally struggling and may be suffering from mental health problems, the consequences we know can be tragic. So some of the warning signs that a teen may become violent include playing with weapons of any kind. Amy, if you are a parent or the parents are out there and you know your child got guns in the house, that's a problem. Excessive playing violent video games, watching violent movies or visiting websites that promote or glorify violence, threatening or bullying others, fantasizing about acts of violence that they like to commit, being aggressive or cruel to pets or other animals. Amy, what do you think about some of those warning signs if you start seeing some of that stuff?
Those are all great warning signs to keep an eye out for. Just a change in the behavior. I mean, you know your child. You know how they act, and when it's just not normal, then, or it's out of the blue, talk to them first. You know, a lot of times parents mm-hmm. will go above their head or talk to, you know, like take them automatically to a therapist, you know, and that's just going to make them shut down. That's a lack of communication. So you want to talk to them first.
That is true. Because you want to start that conversation with them instead of just bringing them to the therapist. Because when you bring them into our office, Amy, you know, we be getting flooded with all kinds of stuff. And now we're trying to put pieces and figure stuff out. And I'm like, ooh, wait. But I also want another tip. Add balance to your troubled teen's life. No matter the exact reason behind your teen's problem, you can put balance back in their life by helping them make healthy lifestyle changes. You want to help them create structure. If there is a problem with video games, television, things of that nature, reduce screen time and explain to them how that could be a problem. Encourage exercise, eat right, and ensure your teen gets enough. In addition to that, you also want to make sure, as a parent, if you're out there, take care of yourself. Stress of dealing with any teenager, especially ones who've experienced behavior problems, can take a toll even on the parent's health, Amy. So it's very important that they take care of themselves by taking time to relax daily, talk it over with someone else if you feel overwhelmed, helpless, angry, or frustrated. You know, Amy, it's been interesting because I've been having a lot of parents contact me to the point that even if they can't get their teenage or young adult in, they come in and they want tips and information of how and what to do to help. Don't go at it alone, especially if you're a single parent. Find support from family, friends, a school counselor, sports coach, religious leader, or someone else who has a relationship. You know, Boys and Girls Club used to be really good, Amy, back in the day. The YMCA are also groups that can help. And remember, sometimes it won't last forever, but where to turn for help? I want to give some information in regards to parents can also call the National Parent Hotline at 1-855-427-2736, and you can also find resources for a specific teen problem, meaning it may be something that, you know, is out of the norm. And if the child is exhibiting signs of suicide, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Amy, anything you want to leave the listeners with as we end the show for today in regards to troubled teens and mental health?
No, just that, no, you're not alone, and it's okay to get help, and it's not too late to help your child.
Correct. And like I said, please do it. My mother used to say, I'm whooping your butt so the police won't have to do it. I didn't know what she meant by that, but the police do be whooping people's butt. So you want to make sure that your child is not on the news, that your child is not hurting someone else. So if your child is troubled, let's take more responsibility as a community to help reach out and try to connect with individuals who may lack the resources or the ability to find the help for themselves, because we have to work together as a community, which basically brings me to the topic for tomorrow as we do the segment with Pastor Dan Estelle, From the Pulpit to the Couch. And we're going to be talking about church and community outreach, because we do need to get more involved in regards to providing outreach services. And a lot of individuals have a misperception as it relates to the church as well within a community and what the church can do, cannot do, have the financial ability and the means to do. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Amy, I will connect with you later. I'm not going to put you on the spot and come up with a topic for next week. So we will consult in regards to that. So, Amy, what else you want to tell the listeners before we finish?
Nothing. We'll be back next week.
Okay. And until then, remember, you got this. Thank you, Amy.